Welcome into the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast. Wes and KJ here with you, presented by UK Sports Medicine. Got a great show today lined up for you as well. And before we get to Mario, who's going to be joining us here in a little bit on our cross country, talking cross country, and big weekend for them again. We'll get into that a little bit later. But first, there's so much going on campus. Men's and women's basketball starting back. That's always a great thing. And you look at both of these teams, KJ, and there's a lot of excitement building on both of these programs. We'll start with the men's team first. Mm-hmm. They're coming off a win against Midway. They will have some games later on in the week as well, but there's a lot of excitement around this team, this basketball team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really weird as someone from Texas, where basketball is the most like highly viewed sport here. In Texas, it's always football. So, yeah, there's so much excitement. I heard the game tonight at AC's surprise opening, not surprise opening, but grand opening is sold out. That may be incorrect, but sadly I'll miss it because I have class. But yes, everybody's excited for basketball. My teammates will not stop talking about it. So I'm excited also to see just how well they do this season for sure.
Yeah, big rivalry game, Eastern-Western, opening up the brand-new, renovated, not brand-new, but renovated Coliseum. And this is a fun team to watch. They were picked second in the preseason coaches poll, and I've always said that sometimes those aren't worth the paper they're written on.
Yeah.
But what it does is it allows other teams to have that target on their back.
Yes.
They know that where EKU is in the preseason poll, and they're going to get everybody's best shot. You dealt with that on the softball diamond. Does that carry any weight in the locker room and once you get out in between the lines for you and in between the lines for the guys?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. For athletes, it's more of a – it sets the expectation for the season rather than like, oh, we are under pressure because we're supposed to be best. It's more of, oh, we need to be better because that's where we're supposed to be in this line. So it should be seen as a positive thing. Hopefully it's seen as a positive thing. But, no, absolutely, teams are going to be coming for the EKU basketball team, and I'm sure that's exactly how they want it to be.
There's a great mix, too, of youth and experience on this team.
Yes.
Kind of similar to your teams in the past before. When you have that type of mix, what does that mean to a team like that?
I mean, you have the experienced players that are going to step up and take the lead, and then you're going to have these newcomers that need to learn what this team's about, what the culture's about, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, that's honestly the perfect setup is to have the mix so the newcomers can carry on for the next season.
You have MJ Williams, Juan Cranford, Austin Ball had a double-double in his EKU debut. And then you also have the experienced guys that have been here a while, Turner Butchery, Jackson Holt, Mont Myrick, you know, even Jalen Cooper is coming over now. So it is a good mix. And the main most important thing is obviously getting back inside Baptist Health Arena. That renovation's finally complete now. And there's a lot of energy and aura and buzz around just being back in your home field because they haven't had that consistently in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, AC is right in the middle of campus, so you're going to have that student section packed, and that's exactly what they want.
Yeah, certainly will as the season goes along. Let's now flip over to women's basketball. They've got a couple of games under their belt so far here in the season. They're 1-1. First game was really sharp against Transylvania. Second game, they kind of struggled a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that they are hungry to erase that taste from their last game.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you watch the game, they just missed the mark. The field goal percentage were very similar for both teams. The rebounds were very similar for both teams. They just missed where they needed to be at, and that's why the game was so close.
You look at their defense through the first two games, holding Transylvania to 41 points and SIUE to 56. That averages out to 48.5 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not sustainable for a season. If it is, you're talking deep run in the NCAA tournament. But they have proven so far that they're tough to score on.
Yes,
and that's
for sure.
Where you see the saying, defense wins championships.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a great thing, a great problem, I guess you can say, to have at the beginning of the season, just because you're setting that standard for the team and just how you want to play for the rest of the rest of the season.
They will have two home games, their first two home games inside Baptist Health Arena later this week against Evansville and North Dakota before they go to North Dakota, a rare home-and-home series on, in the non-conference. And the way on the offense, the way this team shared the ball in game one, 25 assists, calling that game, my head was on a swivel the whole game because they were moving the ball so well. They were giving up a good shot to get a great shot, and that shows you the selflessness of this team.
And the synergy, too, just knowing that your teammates are going to make the shot when you give it to them.
Well, what about the hottest team on campus now?
Yeah.
It's volleyball. They are rolling. Six straight wins, sweeping Bellarmine, sweeping Stetson. At the time we're recording this podcast, they've won eight consecutive sets. Mm-hmm. Haven't lost a set in nine sets. And they're playing well at the right time because the tournament is less than 2 weeks away.
Yes, they're picking up momentum at the very point of the season where you need momentum, for sure. They have two games until the tournament, so this is where they need to, you know, turn up the volume just a little bit, and that's exactly what they're doing.
And for them, also, they will get to play back at Baptist Health Arena. Yeah. Remember when we had Kendall on? She said they prefer Baptist Health Arena and AC over the OSTC, so it will be good for them to play their final two home games of the season inside the newly renovated BHA.
Absolutely. And I think about the seniors. They're playing their last games in Baptist Health. So I bet it feels good. They're on a win streak. They're getting to play at their home arena. So, I mean, you can't get much better than that.
The offense has been so explosive. They have kind of separated themselves from everybody else, in my opinion. And I may have a little bit of maroon shaded glasses. But it seems like their offense has really stepped up as the season has gone along because – now they are not even letting opponents kind of toy with them. Like the other day against Stetson, that first set was just a wipe away win. Don't even give your opponent time to get involved in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's multiple people. It's not just relying on one person. Yeah. You have Addison Burke, you have Emily Hill, you have A.G. Hines. Like, it's multiple people that are attacking these other teams. So it's good to see.
Well, EKU will enter the final week of the regular season tied with Jacksonville for first with 11-3 ASUN record. Unfortunately, they don't have the tiebreaker over Jacksonville because they lost that regular season matchup. So if they do end up tied, it would be Jacksonville getting the spot there. But there are four teams, KJ, with a legit shot to claim the regular season title, EKU being one, Jacksonville the other. FGCU's a half game behind, and then one game behind is Thursday's opponent, Central Arkansas. So that's going to be a really big game.
Great game, yeah. And if I can be there, I absolutely will. So
you snagged balls the other day for them, didn't you? How was that?
They stressed me out. They are very – they hit the balls everywhere, and then you have to go get them and then make sure they get the ball on time. It's very stressful. Well, but
you see some players or some people that you can tell they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You can tell they'd rather be somewhere else. It is a lot. You go in, I think some people go into it and thinking, oh, that's going to be pretty easy. But it's actually a little bit of work.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get Mario on here on the podcast, cross country, fourth consecutive ASUN championships. Just keep on going.
Yeah. Dominant. I mean, cross country school, we talk about it all the time, but you know, four straight years they won a conference title. I don't know how you can get any better than that.
What's the signal for dynasty in it? Something like this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've never seen that?
No.
So you harp on me on some of the other stuff, but you don't know the dynasty sign. Man, that's your homework for next podcast.
Okay, I got you.
Figure out what the dynasty sign is. And a little bit of hardware to hand out, too. ASUN Male Runner of the Year going to an EKU runner.
Yeah, Taha Arawi wins Runner of the Year with his first place finish. He won. He ran a 23-minute, 16-second, 8K, which is insane. I ran a 5K in 30 minutes, but I'm not a runner, so we don't talk about that. The Corey Erdman, actually, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the cross-country coach, actually won Coach of the Year as well. And then Edna Chalule finished fourth in the women's cross-country race and got first-team All-ASUN and Freshman of the Year. So clean sweep, it looks like, on our side.
And there were several more that we could have mentioned, but that'll take another half hour to go through. But,
exactly.
I mean, that's crazy. And what do you say? We talked to Mario on the podcast.
Yeah, how do you pronounce his last name?
Mario Priejo.
Okay.
Mario Priejo. That's who we're going to talk to next on the podcast. Cross-country star Mario Priejo joining us here on the Kicking It With The Colonels podcast. Boy, what a week you just came off of. Cross-country team, another conference championship. Tell us about that experience. What did that mean to you?
Well, I don't know. I've been here for 2 years. Last year, for me, this was new. I didn't know what winning ASAM means. But I don't know. This year, we were having some like bad races before. And this year, like, we came to ASAM and we smashed it, you know, like, it was super nice. The team was super happy. So I'm very proud of the team and what we did. So
how important was it to you in this being your final year to come out and kind of end on a good, I know you've still got the regionals coming up next week too, but how important was it to for you to in the team to end on a good note?
Well, I don't know, man, like, giving points for the team is always nice, you know, like, even if I didn't get the points for the team in ASAM, I was, like, super proud of what the team did, because I maybe don't have the best day of my life, but the team is always there, and they are always, like, racing super good, so it's nice, like, it's not just individual, you know, having a good team that is always there, even if you have a bad day or a good day, it's nice.
Coming off the team's fourth consecutive conference championship in cross country, what, in your opinion, makes this program the envy, the top of the leaderboard in the ASUN?
Well, I don't know. I think that we have a lot of international athletes, and I think that, well, when we came here, we didn't know what winning ASUN means, you know, but after 1 year, like, we are super focused on ASUN is one of the big goals of the season. So for me personally, I think that, I don't know, I love to win ASAM, and I love the, like, the environment that is before the race, you know, so it means a lot for me and for the team.
KJ, we've talked about on several podcasts before we go into our different segments, it's always cross country dominating everything.
Yeah.
What, I mean, how is cross country been able to be, I mean, so successful for so long? I mean, that's the question that everybody has. It's a tradition that just keeps on going. What is it that allows this program to go that way?
I don't know. I think that the coaches teach the athletes that ASAM is one of the most important races. Also, we get ready every single season for this goal. Like, we prepare it as one of the most important seasons goals of the season. So I think that, I don't know, I think that we work hard. The coaches teach us the importance of this title, and I think that is one of the keys of winning this. You know, it's not just for us, it's also for the coaches that teach the athletes that the importance of this competition.
Yeah. And how is it, you talked about having just so many international students on the team. How is that, like, synergy? Like, how does it feel to play with?
Well, I don't know. I'm from Spain, and we have two Argentinians, for example, and another Spaniard that is, it was my friend before coming here.
Oh, wow.
So it's super nice in that aspect. It's true that sometimes, like, the cultures are different.
Mm-hmm.
The Spaniards with American, the Americans with the Kenyans, the American with, you know, but it's super nice because, I don't know, the way to socialize with the teammates is sometimes funny because you don't understand a word that he said and he doesn't understand a word that I said, and they make fun of it. So, I don't know, it's like kind of funny having these different cultures in the team, you know?
Yeah.
How long did it take to overcome the language barriers that consist on a team like this?
Man, I am still facing that. So. But, I don't know, last year if I come here, I wouldn't say a single word, you know, so it's about time. And for example, last year I was most of the time talking Spanish with my Spanish teammates, but now I try to change that, because if not, like, you cannot survive in the US without speaking English, you know.
Here's a chance to advocate for your country. They have the best food of all that group.
For me, 100%. Hey, but I don't dislike the American. I love the American food, to be honest.
Getting back to a little bit of business here, Taha had a great season. He was the ASUN Male Runner of the Year. What's he like as a teammate, and what makes him so successful?
Man, he's a guy that has his mind all the time in racing, training good, eating good, sleeping good. So I think that he's a guy that has that in mind, and also trains super good. Like, if you see him training, like, I don't know, he's like, all the team is tired, but this guy has always energy to keep pushing. And I don't know, he's a nice teammate. Like, I'm so proud of having him as a runner and also as a person, because he's a nice guy. If you talk to him, he's super humble. And I don't know, I love having these kind of guys in my team.
There's been so many players or runners before that have had so much success. I know you've only been here a couple of years now, but have you been able to pick any of those that have run before you, any of their brains, to get something, or is it kind of something you're just kind of out there and being able to focus on what you're able to do?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah. So of all the players that have been here a couple years ago and they've been so successful, do you stay in contact with them, or do you have any connection with them, or is it kind of just focused on this team?
Well, I don't know personally some of the teammates. I know some Spaniards that went here in this team, and they told me about the importance of conference, if that's true. Yeah. So I don't know, I keep in touch with them sometimes, but I think that they have their own lives right now, you know, but they don't forget about DKU. They, in fact, they, for example, Kiron is a member of the team. He got married in summer, and some of the old teammates came from Spain to the US to go to his wedding, you know, so they don't forget where they come and all that.
That's super cool. I mean, like, you think about, like, all of the other sports and how most of the teammates are American. So traveling from, like, maybe one coast to another is all right. But traveling from Spain back to America, that just speaks to how great the bond was built on that kind of team.
So how did you come to EKU? How did you land here at EKU from Spain?
Well, I don't know. I had some friends, as I told you, like, from Spain. So I, well, one of the girls in the team, in my Spanish team, she signed for EKU. So I reached her because she was all the time saying, like, we were doing, like, calls and all that, and she was telling me all the time, EKU is super nice, like, I don't know, things that you cannot imagine in Spain about sports, here was possible. So I just reached, I remember that I reached Mia, and, like, she convinced me to come here, and I don't regret for coming here, you know, like, I'm super happy, so...
So tell us about your run in the ASUN Championships, and were you pleased with your time? Or tell us about kind of your personal experience in the ASUN Championships.
Well, this year?
Or yeah, this year.
All right. So, well, I didn't have the best race of my life, you know, but it was a race that we were talking about with the coaches and all that, how to planify their race, how was going to be. So we decided to stay on the pack with the different universities in the front pack and just stay close to each other, you know. I thought that I was going to finish like top five on the team, but maybe I didn't have the best day of my life, but my teammates were there. So when I was struggling and I was saying, please, that my teammates go to the front and start getting those points, please, because I'm dying. Yeah. So they were there, they were fighting for the points, and they made it. So it's not like something that are personal, like, it's for the team, you know. They won, and I didn't, they won.
Yeah. From a runner's standpoint, there's a lot of focus on an individual in cross country, but it really is a team sport. How does that balance happen? Like, how... Because you're focused on your time and your success, but you also want what's best for the team too. How do you manage that? And I'm sure having teammates cheering you on help tremendously.
No, it helps a lot. You know, like, obviously you're looking for individual performance, but after all, you don't qualify individual for, well, you can, but the most important is qualify the team. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We planify the races. We talk to the coaches how we should run together. And I don't know, move during the race, you know, where we say that it's better having a group of five EKU runners together in the race, because mentally for the rest of the race, like, the guys that are racing is worse mentally, you know, because they see five maroon guys moving up and passing them, so it's nice. And that's what I say, like, it's super important having a team. Also, because if you're struggling, you have a teammate on your right that is telling you, keep going, we can do it, you know? It's not just individual.
Mm-hmm. And how important is it, even in, like, training? Like, I see you guys running around campus all the time, but y'all are always in groups. How important is it to run in groups versus by yourself?
Well, you can run by yourself, but it's not recommended because you became, like, sick. But I don't know. I love morning runs with the team, you know, you talk about different topics. You don't just talk about running. You're running all the day, so you need to talk about other things. It's also good, like, to connect different culture stuff and, like, topics. So these runs, like, helps to put the team together, you know? Like,
yeah.
I love these runs because then you go to the track and you start doing the workouts and you cannot talk because you're dying, you know?
What's on the playlist for you while you run? Do you listen to music while you run?
When I'm with the group, we don't listen to music, you know.
No music.
No music because you're talking. It's better, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when I am alone, of course, I listen to music.
Yeah.
But also before the race, you see like the guys with their phones, like listening to music to get hype. But then the warm up and all that before the race, we do it together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you? I know that coming up next week will be the regionals, in the Southeast regionals there. That's in Charlottesville, Virginia. What's the goal for you and for the team to come out and advance even further?
Well, for the team, I think that the goal is qualifying for nationals. Right. We did 2 years, like for 2 years. I think that this is going to be hard because maybe with the first races we didn't get the points, but I think that we have a big chance. I don't know, the team now is super hype. We are like taking the momentum into account. So I think that we can make it, and the team is so hype. I really believe that we can make it. Individually, I don't mind at all because after all, as I say, like if I finish sixth but my team doesn't qualify, I don't mind, to be honest. But I think that the team is really concerned of doing as a team, you know, like not individually, like run together, try to pass the most people as we can, and I don't know, qualify by teams.
Do you prefer 8K or 10K?
I'm more a 10K runner, but yeah, I mean, it's 2 more K of struggling, you know, so after all, I don't know what I prefer, but I would say 10K, you know.
And for those that don't know, what is that equate to, 6-7 miles?
Don't ask me because I'm European, it's only like 6.2 miles.
What is your favorite course that you've ran at? Do you have a favorite?
Man, I don't know. I ran 4 times in Wisconsin, so I'm kind of tired of that. But for example, where we race Asian is, I love that course. You know, Florida is super warm. You came from the call of Richmond, so it's super nice. And it's not super hilly and all that. And I don't know, I have good flashbacks from there because we won the title twice there. So
I'm biased. Do you prefer to run on, like, let's say grass or like road, or like what's your go-to when it comes to running?
Well, I would say on the track, I think that I race better because I struggle a lot with the hills. Like with the uphills, I cannot like run faster, you know, but then in the downhills, for example, I'm so tall. So, like, I don't know, I do a lot of bigger steps, so it's easier for me going downhill, you know.
What do you miss most about Spain?
Tortilla patata. Which is a Spanish play, you know.
Yeah.
And my family, too.
But more importantly,
tortilla patata.
Yeah, I know what you said first, yeah. When you look at your career so far, tell us how you got involved in running. Did you play other sports growing up, or when did cross-country track start to become a thing for you?
Well, when I was a kid, I was doing at the same time track and field and also soccer. That is pretty famous in Europe. So when I was like, I went to high school, and my parents told me that I didn't have time for both. Even if I love both, I didn't have time. So my sister was doing track and field too. Like we started with 7 years both. And I decided to go to track and field, even if sometimes I didn't like at all, because I don't know, it's a sport that you struggle all the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I decided to go to track and field, and because of that, I'm here. So it was a nice choice, I guess.
Tell us about your summer, because you had a pretty busy summer as well. Won a medal there in one of the summer games there over in another country as well, in the 10,000. What was that experience like, to be able to win a medal there?
Well, I don't know. I didn't expect that, you know. Like, there was a bunch of guys with better times and all that, even a guy from our team now. So, I don't know. I didn't expect that. I was just running, and people were dropping from the group, and I was staying there. And in the last lap, we were five guys, and I thought, again, I'm gonna finish fourth or fifth, but I'm not gonna get the medal. Mm. But I don't know. The last 300 meters, I found energy. I don't know from where, that I sprint super hard, and I don't know. I finished there, and it's something that I didn't expect, so I didn't know how to react. But I don't know. My teammates also was super happy with me because we're best friends and all that. It was sort of super nice.
What does your day-to-day look like from a training standpoint? Because I'm always amazed at just how much work you all truly put in. And they see you in these races, but they don't see you the other days, training and doing what it takes. What's the average day-to-day look like for you in a training standpoint?
I don't know. Sometimes training in track and field is super hard, You wake up at 6:30, you have to be at 7 at OSTC for, you wake up and 20 minutes after you have to be running with, 10 degrees or something. It's a little bit annoying or disgusting, but I don't know, it's so hard. You have to be there all the days, going outside, even if it's raining, snowing or whatever, that you have to be training. But I don't know, I like the sport, so I cannot complain at all. I don't know, it's a lot of work. Also in the morning you have to run, then in the evening you have to go for weights. The day after you have double workout, so you're super tired from the morning and you have to keep going in the evening. So it's kind of hard, but I like this lifestyle,
Go ahead.
Is it just running, or is it do you have other workouts that you have to do as well?
I mean, we do some weights sometimes, twice a week, but most of the time it's just running and running. Some drills before running, but just running.
What is the furthest you've ever ran in a day? I imagine, because you do the 8K, 10K, I imagine you train for more than that.
Yeah, no.
So what is the furthest you think you've ran in one single day? Well, if you can put a number on it.
I don't know in miles, but I think that in the evening, doing 20K, and in the morning doing 20K, and in the evening doing 12K, so in total 32K, something like that, a little bit less than a marathon, or I don't know how many miles, 23 or something like that miles.
I get exhausted driving that much.
I ran a 5K the other day and I would not go further than that.
Step by step, don't worry. You have time to run more.
In other sports, teams scout their opponent as far as from an X's and O's standpoint. When you're involved in cross country and even track, do you worry about your competition level? Or are you trying to go out, look at what others are doing, or is it more truly based on what you do?
Well, I think that is half of both, you have to be very confident with yourself, but also be aware of the rest of the rivals, for example, in nationals, I don't know, you have to be confident that you are going to do it good, but you cannot say that I'm going to be the first one, because it's impossible. So it's a mix of both of them. But for me, most important is to be confident. And I don't know, if you are confident and you are in the middle of the race struggling and you say, I can do it, you can get some more spots, So I would say that it's, both of them.
Do you have a pre-race routine that you have to go through? Are you superstitious?
I was sometimes, but then I have shitty races, so I thought this doesn't work, So in part I try to, wake up at some, an exact hour, put some, certain songs, that I know that works for me. Put in the shoes just before an exact point or something like that. But I don't know. I try to stop being superstitious because I think that it doesn't work at all, Not for me, at least.
KJ, are you superstitious? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
I can't even lie. I am. I have to have the same routine before every game.
And it works for you?
It does. Sometimes you're gonna have crappy days, but I believe that most of the time it'll work, so I just stick with it sometimes.
if it was for you.
Yeah.
To each their own, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a former coach or even current coach or teammate coach in the past that you've looked up to that's kind of helped you get to where you are today that you think I owe a lot to this person?
Well, I had two coaches back in Spain. The last one, I think that I love him. You know, it's not like a coach; it's like a friend. Mm-hmm. So he's always we're always in touch. We're always talking. He's always asking me what about the workouts and the races and all that. So I don't know, he's a big support for me even when the things are going bad. He's always there. But also like with Mia, I have a lot of contact. Like I have more contact with Mia, you know. And she's always worried about us. She's always asking about how are we doing like during our day. So I think that these both coaches, you know, like.
I know you may not want to focus on this truly yet, but you are in your final year, grad year. After these races wrap up, what's next for you? What do you want to do? What do you want to get into? Tell us what's after EKU.
That's a good question. I don't even know. No, I've been thinking this past year, well, before coming to the US, I was thinking on studying for being a police officer back in Spain, but they decided to come here. So now I like a lot coaching, you know, so I would like to be a coach. I think that now it's kind of complicated to stay here and work in the US, but I would love to. If I cannot, I would go back to Spain and probably like be police officer. So,
and you've got some family too that were runners.
Yeah.
Right in that? Yeah,
I have a sister that, well, she's better than me, to be honest.
Does she let you know that too?
Yeah. I don't know. If it wasn't because of my sister, probably sometimes I would be like so upset with myself and with the races and all that. She also came here to visit EKU and she was like super amazed with how it was, you know, being in a US university. But yeah, she's a 10K runner too. Mm-hmm. We have been doing both like athletics since we were like 7th and she was like 4 years older. So she's also like a Spanish champion. No, well, not champion, but she's third in the Spanish champion. So mm-hmm. in the Spanish championship. So she's really good, you know.
Now, this is your second year at EKU and you spent some time at another school before here. What was the biggest, from a school academic standpoint, what's the difference between the school you came from in Spain to here?
Well, personally, for me, I studied law in Spain.
Law, okay.
So it was kind of difficult because, I don't know, the professor were like old people that were like, they just wanted to rest, you know, they don't want to teach. So they were going like just to class to read the book and it was super boring. Also the exams, depends on the professor that you have, were super, super hard. Like we always had like final exams like from every subject. And it was like not a test, it was like written test, written exams. So they were super long. And I remember the last month before the exam, you had to study a lot. Like it was all the day staying at home studying. So it was super hard. Here in EKU, in general, I think that in the US, like they help you a lot with the exams and all that. Like, for example, when we are going to a race and the coaches write to the professor to not go to class or something like that, it's something crazy, you know? But when I was going to Spain, if I had to train, the professor like wouldn't mind, you know? Like, you have to go to class. If you don't go, fail. So I think that it's way better, the system here, to help the athletes keep progressing academically and also like running and doing a sport, you know.
I'm sure that takes a little bit of time to get used to, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, KJ is going to have a little this or that for you here with a little rapid fire before we lead into the wheel. So we're going to have some fun here at the end with a little this or that here, and KJ is going to bring it to you.
Perfect. Okay, so this is our this or that section. It's sponsored by UK Sports Medicine. Basically, I'm just going to ask you 10 questions. It's just would you rather questions. Just answer the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
All right. First, dogs or cats?
Dog. I have one.
Okay. What kind?
I don't know how to say, like, the race here is like, it's a Spanish race, so I don't know. It says bodeguero, but I don't know in America how it.
Okay. Coffee or energy drink?
Coffee.
Stay up late or wake up early?
later. I would say later, yeah.
Would you rather eat Case or Stratton?
Sorry, repeat?
Case or Stratton?
Stratton.
Yeah. Morning run or an evening run?
Evening run.
Would you rather be on the trails or the road?
Road.
A warm weather or cold?
Yeah, warm.
A solo run or a group run?
Group.
Would you rather listen to music or no music?
No music.
And then 8K or 10K? Which
we 10K.
I don't see how you do that with no music.
No music is
crazy.
I don't know, in workouts and all that,
yeah.
I don't know, you just hear everything of your teammates.
That's true, that's true. I talk to myself. I would talk to myself like that.
Well, I talk to myself when I'm running, you know. Yeah. You don't have other options. You have to think things that are out of running, you know. If not, you became, I don't know, crazy.
All right, so your farewell from the podcast is one spin on the wheel. We got some more random questions on here as well. And before you leave us here, we'll give it one more spin.
All right,
go for it. Give it one big, strong spin.
I feel like it was
hard. What do you wish you knew more about?
I don't know. Probably about the, I don't know, how the world was created and all that. I don't know, it's a big question that I would like to solve.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Mine is like, learn how to play an instrument or something. Like solving real world problems.
I don't know.
Mario,
and all that.
Mario, it's been great to have you on the podcast. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was really fun. Yeah.
And best of luck in regionals.
Yeah.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
I know you. We'll be cheering you on, and all of EK will be cheering you on as well.
Thank you very much. We will fight for it.
There we go. Sounds good. All right. That's Mario joining us on the podcast today. Until next time. You've been watching and listening here to the Kicking It with the Colonels. We'll see you next time.